Well, hello and welcome to Scattered Sunday. This is the final gathering for First Century Church of the year. It's online only. We've done that every year for the last 9 or 10 years now to give everybody a chance to travel and rest and reset and get ready for the new year. So we're glad you're here with us online today. Speaking of the new year, it's almost upon us. Hope you've had a great holiday season so far. And we're going to start the new year officially next weekend with our week of prayer and fasting. So every day starting next Sunday through the following Saturday, we will have a different daily prayer emphasis that you can focus on. We'll have those in those little bookmarks that hopefully you've gotten. And also we'll have them online on our socials and website. Every day a little thing to pray about each day. And I also want to challenge you in the area of fasting, the discipline of fasting. And I know for some of you, you know, it's a difficult thing. For everybody, it's difficult. But for others, you know, physically, medically, it's difficult. But I want to challenge you to push yourself in this week of prayer and fasting. So maybe you can fast a certain meal a day or a certain type of food, or you want to fast caffeine or soda, whatever it is, that we can take that thing that we rely maybe too much upon and pull back from it this week as we declare our dependence upon God a little bit more in this time of prayer and fasting. Maybe it's not food. Maybe you're going to fast TV, or maybe you're going to fast social media. Those are all good things to take a break from for this seven-day period as we focus intently spiritually to start the new year strong for 2025. So I hope you engage with that with us starting next week. But today, I want to focus on Psalm 25 as our devotional for Scattered Sunday. So for the past several years, we've taken the psalm with the number of the year that we're going into. So this year, we're going to go into 2025, and so we'll focus on Psalm 25 for this Scattered Sunday. And honestly, Psalm 25 is a perfect psalm to start the new year. It's all about God's direction and what that looks like and what it means from us and what it means from God as well, what he promises to do to lead us into a new year. So we're not going to go straight through it. We're going to kind of pull out different themes and go a certain direction on it. And so we'll kind of be everywhere. So if you have a Bible with you or you're following on your phone, we're going to kind of be all over, but it's just going to be Psalm 25 today. So it'll be within that area. But Psalm 25, really, we're going to see it again. It's a psalm all about God's direction, which is great for the new year. Let's start in verse 4. Psalm 25, verse 4 says this: "Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow." Again, what a perfect way to begin a new year. God, show me your path. Lead me down your road. This is a psalm attributed to King David in the Old Testament. We'll talk more about him in just a minute. But this time of new year is a key time, right? We're looking back on the previous year. We're looking ahead to the coming year. And our goal is to make fewer mistakes than we made last year, to make better decisions in the coming year, to lead us into a brighter future. And that's what this psalm is all about. Lead me, God, down your path, down your road for my life. But when it comes to direction, what do we have to do with direction? The next verse tells us about that. So let's look at verse 5, Psalm 25, 5. David says, "Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you." David says, "Lead me," which implies if we want God's direction, we have to follow it, don't we? It's not just enough for me to own every map in the world or for me to have my map app updated on my phone. That's great, but if I'm lost and I don't use the map or use the app on my phone, it does me no good. And so that's what David's saying here. He says, "Lead me, I will follow." And so if we want God's direction, we have to follow him. But as we continue down this line of thinking, we want God's direction, we have to follow him. What does that take on our part? It takes humility. And that's what a few other verses down the line say here. Let's look again at verse 9, Psalm 25, verse 9. "He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way." And then skip down to verse 12. "Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity, and their children will inherit the land. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant." To follow God's direction, we have to be people of humility. A humble person will be led. A humble person will learn and take instruction. They are teachable. And I want to be that kind of person. And I hope that you, entering this new year, want to be that kind of person, a person who is humble, who is leadable, who is teachable. That's what we need. A key phrase here that we see in these verses, though, is fear the Lord. And sometimes we misunderstand or we don't know what that means. But it doesn't mean we're afraid of God. We have fear of God. It means that we have reverence for God. We have respect for God. We fear the Lord. Think of a person in your life that you look up to, that you just admire and respect and revere. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's one of your parents or an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent. Maybe it's a teacher that you had in school or a coach that meant a lot to you. They really gave you great instruction. That's a person that you would fear in the way that we're talking about fearing the Lord. Someone that you respect and revere and admire, you want their input, don't you? You want their advice. You seek it out. You ask them, hey, what should I do here? What's the best decision to make? How can I avoid pitfalls? And if we would do that with those key important people in our lives, how much more should we fear the Lord? If he knows everything, if it's his path that we're following, in fear of him, in reverence and honor and respect of him, we should, in following him. Seek his instruction first. Seek his advice first. Seek his will and his way first. That's what it really means to fear the Lord, as we see here in Psalm 25. It also talks about this word friend, another key word that maybe we overlook, but God wants to be, it says, a friend to those who fear him. In your life, God desires a personal, intimate relationship with you. He desires this friendship. God doesn't just want to boss you around and tell you what to do. He wants to lovingly lead you this year, lovingly guide you this year into all that he has planned for you in this kind of relationship. And so we want God's direction. We have to follow it. And if we follow it, we have to be people who are humble. So that's our part. Now the rest of the psalm, as we'll see, shows us the three main areas of life that God will lead us through. And they are powerful, key, amazing areas that despite what you face right now, despite what you face in the coming year and even beyond, God will lead us in these three key areas of life. So let's look at them here for just a minute. So first, this psalm says that God will lead you even through life's mistakes. Let's look at a few verses here, starting at Psalm 25, verse 8. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray." Then skip down to verse 11. "For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins." So the truth is, if we're honest, the truth is we don't always get it right, do we? We don't always take the right path. We don't always make the right decisions. We sometimes get it wrong. On the path of life, we make mistakes. But what David's saying here is that even in the midst of that, God will still lead you. He is so good, he says. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. So when you're not using the map app on your phone of life, God doesn't just say, "I'm going to uninstall that app. You're not using it anyway. You're not going to ask me anyway. Forget you." That's not what God does. God is good. He is so good. Even when I mess up and make mistakes, he will still lovingly lead me, guide me, kind of gently push me in the right direction. That's how good God is. And I am so thankful that God is that patient with me. How about you? I am so thankful that despite myself and my pride and my shortcomings, and I don't want to listen all the time, I don't want to follow all the time, and I want to complain and do my own thing and disregard what God said, even despite that, God still lovingly, as a friend, guides us. Because, as we'll continue to see now, that's who God is. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. Look again here at verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 25. It says, "Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you have shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O Lord." And then skip down to verse 10. "The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who keep his covenant and obey his commands." And verse 14, "The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant." Unfailing love and faithfulness. This is who God is. And it's this Hebrew word I talk about it all the time. It's this Hebrew word chesed, and it simply means faithfulness. That's who God is. God is faithful. And as it says in 1 John, God is love. He is unfailing love and faithfulness. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. And it also mentions the God of covenant. God promises to lead us. He promises to guide us. And because God is a covenant God, it means when he makes a promise, He will keep it. You don't have to worry if God's going to waffle. You don't have to worry if God's going to forget about you or abandon you. He will not. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. This is the God that leads you in your life. This is the God that wants to lead you in 2025 and beyond, a God of unfailing love and faithfulness, even through our shortcomings and our mistakes. And the second area of life that we see here in Psalm 25 that God leads us in is God leads us despite our enemies. This might be a weird one, but it's in here, so let's look at it. Verses 2 and 3, Psalm 25, 2 and 3. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Then skip down to verse 15. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. Then near the end of this Psalm 19 through 21, see how many enemies I have and how viciously they hate me. Protect me. Rescue my life from them. Do not let me be disgraced, for in you I take refuge. May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. Again, this psalm, Psalm 25, is attributed to King David, who had a ton of enemies, didn't he? Now, some of them are understandable. They come from foreign countries, and there are other armies or other kings or other leaders who want to conquer and they want to lead. So they're obviously David's enemies. But if you know anything about the life of David, even from a boy and all the way through the end of his life, some of his greatest enemies were his closest people in his life relationally. They were his own family. They were his own extended family. They were some of his friends that became enemies. His own son becomes his enemy. His own father-in-law becomes his enemy. David knows what enemies are. But he acknowledges here in this psalm, God, you will protect me. You will save me. You will keep me. You will rescue me. He knows that his enemies desire to disgrace him, but he also knows if I follow your path, God, that I'm asking for, I will never be disgraced. Now, I don't know if you have enemies in your life. That's a pretty strong word, but I would say at the very least, almost everyone, if not everyone, has those difficult people in your life, and they can range, you know, from a little difficult to very difficult, even maybe enemy status. But you have people that cause drama and problems in your life. You have people that make things difficult for you. Maybe they're jealous of you in your life, and so they cause issues. Maybe they obstruct progress in your life. They become obstacles to you. Even on a spiritual faith level, they oppose your faith. They ridicule you. They try to undercut your efforts. They make fun of you because of your belief in Christ. But God will lead you despite those people. He will, like David says in Psalm 25, he will protect you and rescue you. There's a couple of keys here I want to mention. And the first is the focus that we have to keep for God to do this. David says, I trust in you. My eyes are on the Lord. You know, sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, we all are, sometimes with these difficult people or even enemies in life, we try to take matters into our own hands too often. We try to defend ourselves, but David doesn't do that. He gives it to God. That is not easy to do, but we have to. We have to let God protect us. Let God rescue us. Otherwise, I'm probably going to make things more difficult. I'm probably going to mess them up way worse than they were before if I try to do it on my own. But I want to give it to God. Focus on God. Let him be the hero. Let him rescue me and protect me. The second key is how we live in that despite our enemies. He says, I live with integrity and honesty. If you and I can do our best this coming year and even beyond to live with integrity and honesty, it makes things easier for us while also making things more difficult for those enemies in our lives. They have less ammo. If I live with integrity and honesty, even despite what they're trying to do, what they say, what they're scheming and plotting, how they're gossiping, eventually my track record of integrity and honesty is going to overcome their deception, their lies, their deceit. People are going to see your character doesn't match their slander. So if we can learn to give it to God, and despite all the attacks and opposition against us, live in integrity and honesty, we can live the kind of life down the path that God has for us. And here's the final thing that God promises. He promises to lead us through life's problems. Let's look here again at Psalm 25. Look at verses 16 through 18. Turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Feel my pain and see my trouble. Forgive all my sins. The truth is, a life of faith does not equal a life that is problem-free. Now, you're probably like, duh, I knew that. But it's true. A life of faith does not equal a problem-free life. And some of you know this very well, very personally right now. Maybe you had a scary diagnosis this last year. Maybe you've been laid off from your job and finances are really tight. Maybe you've dealt with the death of a family member or close friend recently. Maybe you're struggling with mental health right now. Maybe you've had just a difficult transition in life and you're struggling to work through all those changes in your life. We know even as strong as our faith is, it doesn't negate problems in life. And so maybe you can relate to what David's saying here in Psalm 25. I feel alone. I feel distressed. Things have gone from bad to worse. God, I'm in pain. But notice what David's doing here. He's not simply just complaining about his issues. He's not just saying, oh God, everything's terrible and why does this happen to me? He's not doing that. He's not just saying, oh, I'm in trouble, but he's calling out to God. God, come to me. God, save me. He says, God, feel my pain. And that's really the power of Christmas that we just celebrated, isn't it? That God can feel your pain because he came to earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in flesh, can feel your pain. The scripture says he can sympathize with every one of our weaknesses because he lived a life just like we did. I don't know what this new year of 2025 holds for you. I hope it's all rainbows and sunshines and unicorns, but it's probably not going to be, is it, if we're honest? And so when it's dark and when you're down, when it hurts, and when it's going from bad to worse, remember God's covenant faithfulness. Remember his unfailing love. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You can know that God has got you on this path as we submit and humbly follow him. And so we skip the very first verse. That's the theme. So here's what I want to close. This is what I want our prayer to be, your prayer to be in 2025, is Psalm 25, verse 1. It says, O Lord, I give my life to you. What a great way to start the new year. And I would say, what a great way to start every day of this new year. What if every morning you get up and you say, oh God, I give my life to you. What a great way to focus yourself on God immediately. Not your problems, not your enemies, not your mistakes, but on God. So in that, we're saying, God, I humbly submit to you. Would you lead me today? And God, I humbly will learn from you. Would you teach me today? God, I give my life to you, my mistakes, my enemies, my problems. God, I know that you hold nothing back from me. And so this year, 2025, I'm going to hold nothing back from you. Oh, Lord, I give my life to you. And I believe as we do that, we will see God lead us down the best year we've seen yet. I believe great things can be and will be in store for each of us this coming year as we say, God, I give my life to you. Let's pray today. God, thank you for your power and your wisdom. Thank you for the friendship that you want to have with us. You want to lead us and guide us down your path. So help us in humility to follow you. Help us in humility to seek you and learn from you. Help us to live that kind of way. And as we do, we will see that despite our own shortcomings and failures, you will still lead us. Despite the enemies and opposition that we have faced and will face, you still lead us through that. Despite all the other problems of life that come at us, you still lead us. Thank you for your faithfulness and unfailing love. God, we love you, we trust you, we learn from you, and we follow you today and every day and into this coming new year. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Happy New Year to you. Don't forget, we'll see you next Sunday back in person at First Century Church as we kick off our week of prayer and fasting, as we kick off an amazing 2025. God bless you.